ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम एट्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 24 एंटाइटल्ड मत्स्य द लॉर्ड्स फिश इनकार्नेशन। टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 इज रिटन, सो वी ऑल विल रीड 7, बट एज इट डजेंट हैव अ पर्पट आई विल ऑल्सो रीड 8th एंड 9th वर्स। सो फर्स्ट वी विल सिंग द 7th वर्स। आसीत आसीदतीत कल्पान्ते ब्राह्मो नैमित्तिको लयः समुद्रोप्लुतास्तात्र लोको भूरादयो नृप। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ किंग परीक्षित, एट द एंड ऑफ द पास्ट मिलेनियम, एट द एंड ऑफ द ब्रह्माज डे, बिकॉज लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा स्लीप्स ड्यूरिंग द नाइट, एनिहिलेशन टुक प्लेस एंड द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स वेयर कवर्ड बाय द वॉटर ऑफ द ओशन। As there is no purport, we will read the next two verses also. Text number 8. Kalena agata nindrasya dhatu shishayor bali mukhato nishrutan vedan hayagrivo antike harat. At the end of Brahma's day, when Brahma felt sleepy and desired to lie down, the Vedas were emanating from his mouth. And a great demon named Hayagriva stole the Vedic knowledge. Text 9. Nyatva tad danavendrasya Hayagrivasya cheshtitam dadhar safari rupam Bhagavan Haririshwarah. Understanding the acts of the great demon Hayagriva, the supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, who is full of all opulences, assumed the form of a fish and saved the Vedas by killing the demon. Purport. Because everything was inundated by water, to save the Vedas, it was necessary for the Lord to assume the form of a fish. Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to thank all of you who have taken out the time and come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Bombay. So here we are seeing that the Matsya Avatar's description is beginning. As in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Sukhdev Goswami, while describing the Vara Avatar, he combines the two incarnations. Once Vara Avatar appears, every day of Brahma or every Manvantar, the Avataras happen again and again. Means Varadeva comes down, or Lord Ram, or here we see Matsya Avatar. And many times they do some different pastimes also. Not that every time it's like the exactly video replay of the pastime of the Lord that has happened the last millennium. He is going to shoot the same way, the same arrows. It's not a video replay. Lord's pastimes are unlimited. It is said just like there are unlimited waves in the ocean. In the future, we'll see Lord Shiva telling, future in the means today's class, Lord Shiva telling Narad Muni that Lord is like an ocean, unfathomable. Actually, this is a good analogy. And our temple is close to the ocean. So sometimes if you don't experience, you can walk down and see it after today's class. If you look at the ocean just from our Chaupati beach, then actually we cannot understand anything. Just at looking at the surface, we can see some bubbles, some waves, and in Bombay some debris and some sewage also coming down. The color might have changed from blue to black. It happens, but still you can't see exactly what's happening. And the vast ocean, just think how much we can understand that's happening in all the ocean of the earth is unfathomable. Something like that, Supreme Lord's pastimes are much more unfathomable than the ocean. But example of ocean is given because ocean itself is unfathomable for us. It is said in another place in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that how many pastimes of the Lord are there, or how many incarnations. It is just like there are innumerable waves in the ocean. No one in this world can count how many waves. While we go for yatra, we may be very expert in swimming above the waves. Some devotees go under the waves. Some devotees go with the waves. Some devotees go opposite the waves. But we cannot count how many waves come in the ocean. It's practically impossible for any human being to count how many waves come in the ocean. No one can do it. And if one sits, somehow or other, if a man is too determined, one man cannot do because he has to sleep also. And even if he is awake, I think it's difficult for someone to stay awake while counting the waves of ocean. He may fall asleep. So, but somehow or other, you have some mechanism, some machine, some man. Still, you can count it for a day or two or 100 years, 500 years. Something like that. You can't count always. The Supreme Lord's incarnations are that numerable. But then we may ask that we hear Dashavatar Stotra. 10 incarnations of Supreme Lord, the important ones. Matsya, Varah, like that they come out. Some places, some more incarnations are given. 24 incarnations are there in first canto, or first or second chapter, or third chapter, I think third chapter. The 24 incarnations are mentioned. So actually the incarnations of the Lord are unlimited. We have Srimad Bhagavatam, which has 18,000 verses. It is described at one place that there is a Srimad Bhagavatam of Yamraj also. The modern day human beings' misconception is that he thinks that he understands everything. Or he can understand everything. That is a big misconception. We can't even understand what is in the ocean. Everything. Or how many waves are there. Or sometimes Prabhupada would say that we can't even understand how many hairs are there on our head. That's also very difficult to count practically. Can anyone count how many hairs are there? Okay, somebody may do that. Maybe after great effort, very difficult, but somebody can do that. But can we count how many sand particles are there on the ocean beach? That no one can do. That's an impossible task, to count how many sand particles. So human beings' misconception today is, by the strength of their some devices, some instruments, they can understand everything, they know everything. But actually, it's very wrong. It's a big misconception. So here we see the Supreme Lord. It is said in Yamraj's Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamraj has a very big brain. Or he's much, much advanced than us. His Srimad Bhagavatam has 4 billion verses. Not 18,000. Sometimes we think 18 times before buying Bhagavatam and then reading it. Can we complete it? Is it? For many of us, it's a lifetime task to read Srimad Bhagavatam even only once. And then what to speak of understanding it, assimilating it, and keeping everything in our mind. It's very difficult. So suppose I present you a Srimad Bhagavatam of 4 billion verses. Then you may only do parikrama and then go away. I think that's enough for us. So Krishna gives as per the capacity of the audience. And in the Yamraja Srimad Bhagavatam, actually Lord Krishna or the Supreme Lord appears in every species, 84 lakh species. We have lion, fish, something like that. But Supreme Lord or tortoise, the Supreme Lord appears in each and every species. And in Yamraja Srimad Bhagavatam, all the 84 lakh incarnations of Supreme Lord are described, which has 4 billion verses. I think there may be quadrillion, but something like that, billion or trillion, some a big number. And all the 84 lakh incarnations, every incarnation, every pastime in all the species are mentioned in Yamraja's Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what has been told to us. There may be another Bhagavatam on another planet which may be more expansive than that. At least I am not aware of it. So we should not understand that this illusion, at least we devotees should be aware from that. We know everything. It's not a question of modern science or no modern science. Human beings cannot know everything. The world is too unlimited. And sometimes when we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam some descriptions like this Matsya Avatar, he will expand to some 80 or 80,000 miles or something like that. Everything is impossible. Sometimes we hear so many people have so many heads or hands and legs. Even to accept that Brahmaji has four heads is difficult for us. Four heads. Sometimes we think how they may be fitting over here. And eight hands. And how to coordinate that, all the actions. Sometimes we hear Ravan had 10 heads. So if even we have one head, it's difficult to manage ourselves. And if you have a committee of 10 heads, like 10 people, it's so difficult. So it's not that Ravan's 10 head was, one head was the principal, another were showpiece. All the 10 heads had equally powerful brain dictating the body. So sometimes you may think it's very complex. One brain will tell you lift the hand, another brain will tell you take down the hand. So the computer system may hang down. different instructions coming from different brains. And so we may not understand how that 10 brains, not only that, we hear Brahma's only forehead is the smallest Brahma. There are millions of heads. Or sometimes we hear Banasur. He had 500 pairs of hands. Just imagine, 500 pairs. And he would beat the drums with 500 pairs and Lord Shiva would dance. So we may think it's a little impossible, but it's actually possible. We have to just see around the world. This is rainy season. And this year we see not many that insects called centipedes. But we have seen all the centipedes. And they have seen 100 legs and just 1 inch of length. And not only they have 100 legs, they have the capacity to move the legs in a great rhythm. And they just move in a very rhythmic way, all the 100 legs. Suppose we have 100 legs. We will have a tough time to manage them. Which leg to put first ahead, and then one leg may lag behind. For us, it's difficult to even think how we can have 100 legs and how we can walk with 100 legs. Or sit down. We can sit down with two legs. So if I have 100 legs, how we can sit down with folded position on the ground? Or in any way, a chair. So for us, it's a little difficult. But we see those centipedes, sometimes they lie down also with all their 100 legs. And when they walk, it's actually a great rhythm to see. They just walk in a wave form. All the legs move. So if even a centipede can do, they have 100 legs, and they can properly control the movement of all the 100 legs in a great rhythm. We think only humans can do that march past during that military style. But the centipede can do. He can walk with 100 legs. So sometimes it may appear, sometimes we see this Banasur. He was playing the drum with 500 hands, this side and 500 hands, this side. Actually, a great classical music can come out. Sometimes we see that these expert mudang players, I'm not one, but I've seen that, they do like this, and sometimes they do like this. They change their hand and put it, and they play with both sides. So actually, they want two hands to play over on one side. But because they lack one hand, they take another hand here. So if actually they have four hands, they can play in a much better, more rhythm and more nice beats. I've seen many times they do like this, and cut, they do something like that. Again, they take this hand that way. So basically, because they lack two hands on one side, they take this hand on another side and they do something like that. Very expert tricks in Murdanga playing. So suppose if actually they have four hands, two here, they can play much more better Murdanga. And if somebody like Banasur had 500, we can't imagine, but that music may be more fine and more rhythmic. And with one hand you can do like, they do on the Murdanga, and some hand can do something else simultaneously. So it's possible. And Banasur was doing wonderful music. So we should understand as human beings, we have our own limitations of two hands, two legs, two eyes. Because we have only two eyes, when we drive, we require a rear view mirror. One here, one here, and one here. So just think, if we have eyes on all the sides, we don't require all the three mirrors. Because one mirror is on this side, one mirror on this side, and one mirror on the backside, and then job is wonderful. Just the driver can see. While he has to take a reverse, he doesn't have to turn like this. He can just look ahead and go back. Now, there are expert drivers who take the car reverse only by looking in the mirrors. They don't look back. They just look in all the three mirrors. And So that's something like Brahmaji's four heads. So it's not impossible to have it fit on the physical body. Like we see so many insects and animals have hundreds of legs and feathers and so many other things. There are some types of snakes or insects which have two heads. They can, like we see earthworm, it can move front and back. Both ways it can move very normally. We can't do that. We may walk few steps without looking on the back side. But that's all. We can't walk our whole life backwards. every time. It's not possible. Our earthworm can easily do anytime going ahead. Then he can just move back. So basically, all the varieties are available in this world. We human being may not have some capacities. But we should not. We should understand when these descriptions are there in scriptures, it's not an impossible thing just because we have not experienced them. Like Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, as in Hindi, there is some saying, to abhi ande se bhi bahar nahi hai, or something. To ke abhi ma ke pet mein bachcha hai. That's Hindi saying. So Prabhupada would sometimes say that you are still in the womb of your mother. English is not a phrase, but in Hindi it is that way. So basically, our understanding is very limited. And the misconception of a human, especially even modern science, so-called developed human, is he thinks that he understands everything. I have been making this point for last few weeks. Might be I made it here last time when I spoke. But actually, the human beings today are in the most miserable condition. They are, sometimes I was discussing with another devotee, human beings are not even on bodily level. Sometimes we criticize some another movements or missions or some people. We tell that they are acting on bodily level. Means they are teaching moral principles. They are teaching how a human should behave in a gentlemanly way. And we say that is a bodily level, and it's a bodily level. But actually, today's humans are lower than animals, what to speak of bodily level. And the worst part is, the so-called educated MBA and whatever BBA or PhD, they're great degree holders, but they most of them are behaving more foolish than animals. I can tell you one example. Suppose you keep a pot of liquor on the road. Not even a donkey and monkey will come and drink it. You can try it out. They know it is not worth drinking. They will smell it and go away. Not even a monkey will drink. And neither donkey. But our PhDs and MBAs, they will come and drink with great fashion. They'll think they are doing something big. So even animal understands what we should not drink. Or even animal won't smoke a cigarette. Even donkey won't smoke a cigarette. You keep it on the road, free of, you keep it in the grass. He will eat the grass and throw the cigarette away. So he has the understanding. And I've seen many times in the South Bombay where I go, Churchgate and all those areas, so-called famous colleges are there from all the walks of life. And then as Gaurhari Prabhu was telling yesterday, he was saying in Germany, so many women are smoking. In India, not yet so many, but few are there. We see outside these colleges. Actually, it's foolishness. The men have been fooled, and the women, I think, will also get fooled. No? Yeah, men have been fooled into smoking. And women are thinking why we should remain behind. Let us also become fooled and we should also start smoking. Which animals don't do. So actually modern society has developed some technology. But their common sense is lower than animals. Their common sense is lower than even, not even on the bodily level. At least on body level you try to maintain your body. Today morning, I was walking down. I went to VT for some work. I mean, I had to drop some luggage to be sent in the train. And I was walking down from VT to here, chanting my rounds. And I was observing this 5 a.m. life. I was seeing few motorcycle riders, all three triple seated, and four or five of them just going on the same road up and down. They're thinking they are doing some great fun. And while one the driver was riding, sometimes he was stand up and shout something. Then the who is pillow sitter, he would stand up. Means on the fast going motorcycle. And that was their life. How long they will do it, that's a different thing. But they are doing it that way. It's basically useless. Useless activity. Even animals don't do any useless activity. They do some useful activity. They either sleep or eat or mate or defend. They at least do this thing. They don't do any useless activity. But I was saying useless activity. Some people were doing nice walk on another side of the road. At least it is within the category of eating, sleeping, or defending, keeping the body healthy. But here is useless activity. And then we think they are great heroes riding on the early morning with motorcycles. Whole night they must be doing it. So actually, to bring human to bodily consciousness is a great job in today's society. What to speak of bringing them above that? That is also an important job. But even to bring them to bodily consciousness is a great job. At least engage in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Don't do anything worse than that. At least do these things properly. Eat properly, sleep properly. Except Vrindavan, because the Vrindavan, the society, we have so much created a disturbing atmosphere. I remember in Ayodhya, when we went for this Ayavas Yatra, as soon as the sunset would take place, the whole day monkeys would trouble us in a big way. But as soon as it would become dark, the monkeys would sleep. And as soon as the daybreak would come out, the monkeys would rise up. So even to teach that, we have to teach to the human beings today. When it's dark, you should sleep. And when it's daylight breaks up, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, you should get up. So it's an important job to bring people to bodily consciousness. And then further, you have to take it further up. So my point which I am making here is we should understand the Supreme Lord's activities are unfathomable. And what to speak of people who are only empowered with material, mundane, limited senses. And with that, our condition is getting more degraded with the effects of age of Kali, trying to understand the activities of Supreme Lord. It's practically not possible. Actually, here I saw that only one verse, three verses I read, but only one line purport is there. We see Prabhupada says, because everything was inundated by water, to save the Vedas, it was necessary for the Lord to assume the form of a fish. So maybe I thought I should take a liberty on my own, that three verses I read, but there are no only one line purport. So I may take a liberty of going 2-3 verses ahead and also going 2-3 verses behind and discussing the whole scene. So here, as I was saying, in the next verse, I will not discuss fully, but it is said that during Chakshusho Manvantar, a great king named Satyavrat was a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Matsya also two incarnations, like Vara. One incarnation he came to save Vedas, which were being stolen from Brahmaji by this Haigriu, which is described today. And next incarnation of Matsya Avatar will be described in detail from tomorrow onwards. That is, the fish incarnation came just time during the time of inundation to save Satyavrat king and main seven sages and all the seeds and everything, all the herbs. So here both the stories are like combined and it has been spoken. It's just like sometimes when we start remembering our or describing our Vrindavan Yatra or Mayapur Yatra, sometimes we start describing our experiences of two different yatras together. We know this is 97 Mayapur and that was 94 Mayapur or something. But when it's long back, when we start speaking, we just speak all the yatra experience, like, oh, one yatra we went there and another yatra it happened that way. And one yatra, the boats were there and some devotees came. We describe boats combined together. So similarly here, Sukhdev Maharaj is describing both the incarnations combined fashion. And during another incarnation, this fish incarnation, the Matsya Avatar, he saved this Satyavrat king. Here actually a great interesting story is happening. Brahmaji is about to, he's feeling sleepy because it is the end of his day. And he's yawning. And from his yawning, the Vedas come out. We may think in what form, that's not mentioned here. And sometimes it is said that the demon, Madhu and Kaitav or some demon, I don't know, they stole Vedas from Brahmaji's head, intelligence. So it may seem very impossible. As I was saying, we think whatever I can't steal anything from your head. Means I can, if our Balaram Shakti Prabhu is sitting, he's a very intelligent person. He's double PhD or something like that. I can't steal his PhD. Means he loses the knowledge of PhD and I have it. But that's possible. Like modern day, you call it something like computer hacking. There's PhD in doing how to hack computers without a password. And the whole Indian government is trying to hack the computers of China and Pakistan and get the information, and they are doing it for us or something like that. So it's like sitting here, you don't steal the books. Neither you steal anything from the, you don't steal the computers also. You just steal few numbers, few data in a very electrical energy form, and you understand. So it has been described that our brain also has some electrical energies. So many things are possible which may not be possible for human beings. So as Brahmaji was feeling sleepy, Brahmaji doesn't have Vedic scriptures in written form like we have. He doesn't require that. Like once we have, nowadays people are very happy. They have these computers or very soft instruments. And within that, they have all the books, all the lectures and everything. Like previously, if we had to have all the books of Prabhupada, we might require a big shelf. And if all the lectures, then we might require 1,000 cassettes. And nowadays, we have just a very soft copy. And if somebody can steal that just by hacking it. So it's possible on our material world also. So something can be done with the brain of Brahmaji as well. So demons are also equally expert, as it is happening in modern day. They're expert demons to make some virus and spoil your computers. In fact, that's the job of many. The most expert computer engineers become virus makers. Because then the antivirus should not be, cannot be developed by others. No? They take care that the most expert computer engineers are employed to make virus so that their business go on running. So this is demoniac culture happening today. So when Brahmaji was feeling sleepy, he was inattentive, these demons came and took away the all the various scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam. And understanding that this has happened, Lord had to come to save the Vedic scriptures. And he came, and as a Matsya avatar, he fought with the demon and took the scriptures back. Actually, three types of inundations happen in this world. One is at the end of Brahma's life, when all the 14 planetary systems are destroyed, including Brahma Lok. Second is at end of each Manvantara, where only till Swargalok is destroyed. The water rises from below Patal. It rises all the 7 lower planets, then earthly planets, then Bhuvar Loka, and even Indra and everything else. Above Lokas, they remain. Mahar, Janar, they remain as it is. And third type of pralay, it is called Naimittik pralay, as it happened here. When sometimes, during daytime also, it said Brahma feels sleepy. We should not laugh, but Brahma is like, everyone, we also feel sleepy during daytime. Brahmaji feels sleepy. And when he takes a nap like this, or he just gets a few seconds of inattentiveness, here the whole pralaya happens. It happens that way. When Brahmaji feels sleepy, like sometimes when we are writing, taking notes, we experience, when we feel sleepy, the writing becomes Chinese or something like that. The pralaya happens in the writing process. So Brahmaji feels sleepy. He's responsible for the whole creation. Sometimes it happens when we talk on the phone also. Our speaking becomes little disturbing. And the person, although he's not seeing us, he understands. I think you are feeling tired. And he says, okay, we'll talk later on. So Brahmaji feels sleepy and the pralaya happens. Till Swargalok, everything is finished. Unscheduled pralaya. So sometimes that type of pralaya happens. So Brahmaji was feeling sleepy and the pralaya happened. And because there was water everywhere, up till Swargaloka, and the Vedas were taken away, Lord came as fish incarnation, and he also enjoys moving around in the water of devastation. And just like many devotees who know swimming, they enjoy. Devotees, they are very expert in taking bath in holy places and swimming. It's like one of their important activities. As soon as they don't need instructions for that. Any holy place, any kund or river, they are very eager to go and take a bath. Similarly, now I will shift to another aspect of here we are seeing that the Supreme Lord here and in other places, naturally, we are seeing the Lord is unfathomable. His devotees and his devotional service also unfathomable. There are various levels of devotional service that are performed by people. And as I am discussing this Brihad Bhagavatamrita in another places where I give talk, there are various levels of devotional service being described, beginning from a Brahman on the earth, a Prayag. He was worshipping like we worship the deities. He was worshipping Shaligram Shila. He was doing very nice offerings and everything. But after doing the whole worship, he fed first all the respect. Although this Brahman, it is described, was a very respectable Brahmana of a Prayag city. He was not only respectable, he was well qualified. Without much efforts on their own, by the blessings of the Supreme Lord, he had achieved enough riches and opulences. And he was using all of that in Krishna's service. And he was one of the spiritual masters of Prayag area. Still, after performing his puja of Shaligram Ji, he first fed all the other Brahmanas and respectable people who had come. Then he fed all the guests. Then he fed all the other human beings. Then he fed even the animals and insects who were around the area. After everyone, even the insects were fed, or the other people present over there, they requested that at least now you honor prasadam. So even though he was a spiritual master, a leader, a brahmana, we see his extreme humility that he accepts prasadam even after personally serving everyone. And that too when others request him that please take prasadam. And after doing that, whatever results he gets from his devotional service, he offers them to Krishna. So Narad Muni glorifies him. He says that's good in a sense. But a king, here we see another part of his humility in the Vedic culture. Technically, Brahmanas are higher than the Kshatriyas. And this was a Brahman. But when Narad Muni is approaching him that you are a better or you are the best devotee I have seen up till now, this Brahmana is saying, no, I am not a best devotee. This Kshatriya king, so even though Kshatriyas are lower in Varnashram or social rungs, he is pointing that even though I am Brahmana, he is Kshatriya, he is the king of South India, he is better than me. And he tells, I am only worshipping in a very small way, a small platform and whatever I can do, canopy, something. But this king, he has much, much more opulences than me. And he has made hundreds of temples in all over his kingdom. And the main temple just opposite his palace, his capital city, the deity of the Lord is so effulgent, so beautiful. It is like when we take darshan, we don't feel that it is not a deity. We perceive, and everyone perceives that Supreme Lord is personally present. Like they don't think it's a deity. We know, we say that Krishna is not different from deity, but still we say he's a deity. But is he saying that the king is worshipping with so much devotion that no one when takes the darshan of the deity of the Supreme Lord feels that it is a deity. They all feel Supreme Lord is personally present. So he says, therefore he is better than me. Now that is like a more higher devotional service on the earth. We are still on the earth. So Narad Muni goes there. So king says, here the Lord is almost present, like we all feel. But if you go on to Indra Lok, then the Lord personally, Vamandev, is the younger brother of Indra because both of their father is Kashyap and Aditi, and Indra's birth was before and Vamandev appeared later on. So this king says on the Indra Lok, Vamandev is personally present. Here the deity is there, is almost the Lord is there. But Vamandev is personally present and he reciprocates with Indra's devotion. He smiles. And he says, okay, thank you. He reciprocates by saying, Indra, don't worry, I will protect you. In the future, if any demon attacks, just like I did it recently for Bali Maharaj, the king Bali Maharaj, I took away your kingdom back and gave it back to you. So don't worry, I will protect you. So here the reciprocation which the Lord gives is security. That's the reciprocation. On the earth, we expect hundreds of reciprocations from the Lord. Everything happens, anything, that's also good. But We expect wealth, everything, house, family, everything. But there, Indra, he has enough of wealth and everything. His main concern is security. It should be protected nicely. But then Indra says, Lord Vaman is on my planet. But still, you know, he just comes. He's there for a few minutes or maybe an hour or so till I worship him. And as soon as my worship is over, he goes away to Bali Maharaj's place on the Sutta Lok. So he's there only for, he's there on my planet, I accept, but only for a few minutes or at the most hour. And while going away, just to make fun of me, chastise me, he says, when I am not there, you worship Brahma or Shiva. So Indra says, I want to worship Supreme Lord. But he's saying, you are not still ready. You can do away with worshipping Brahma, Shiva. I am not required. So Indra feels, I am cheated that way. But if you go on Brahma's lok, for Brahma, there is no concern of security. No demon can disturb him. Except few. We hear most of the demons, they go only till Swargalok. He says, Brahmaji, on his planet, the Mahapurush form is always there. He never leaves. He is not that he comes and then he goes. He is always there 24 hours or whatever the scale Brahmaji's planet is. He is always present. So you go there. And I'm not taking all the aspects. Narada Muni goes there. And he sees, oh, Mahapurush form has, he also has thousands of arms and legs. And on the Brahmaji's planet, all the residents are doing a continuous sacrifice. And Mahapurush form personally, with thousands of arms and legs, is constantly accepting all the sacrificial offerings. And how many sacrifices are being performed? It describes like a continuous flow of a river. So offerings are continuous. We may have 8 offerings a day, or 56 bhoga, or we may say the Jagannath's hands never become dry or they are always wet. But in Brahma's planets, the offerings are continuous in a form of a big river. And Lord personally is just with thousands of arms and mouths is accepting all the offerings. This Mahapurush form has only 2 pastimes on Brahmaloka. He doesn't give benediction, you be fearless, no demon. Because Brahmaji is beyond the activities of all demon. All the demons who wants to defeat Indra, they worship Brahma or Shiva. So they are beyond their power. So he just reciprocates, smiles at Brahma. And then as soon as, if there is some small break between the offerings, he goes to his own room, but on Brahma Loka. So he doesn't leave Brahma Loka. He goes to his own room to take rest with Lakshmiji. So 2 activities of Mahapurush form is to take rest and to accept all the offerings. So Brahmaji says, that is the reciprocation on a more higher level. But still, Brahmaji is just doing it out of duty. He still sometimes has some difficulties. Then he has to go to ocean of milk to request that Lord has to take as incarnation. There is no much more. It's just like official, we come, we worship the Lord. We may do it is because it is our schedule. Sometimes we may do because it is more than schedule. Still, there is not much reciprocation with us and the Supreme Lord. We go and decorate Radharani or Gopinath or Gopalji or Lalita Vishaka Janardhanji. And we only see, oh, they are looking beautiful. And sometimes we may say the Lord is smiling. But actually with the Lord, we don't have much because we are on the bhoom. The next level was Divya on the higher planets. The next chapter is called Prapancha Atita. Prapancha means this whole world. And Atita means beyond this whole world. So from Narad Muni, from Brahma's Loka, he goes to Lord Shiva's planet. And there he sees Lord Shiva has just finished worshipping the Supreme Lord. And one result which Lord Shiva attains, which is not attained in this world, material world. 2 main differences. One difference, in the first verse, Narad Muni points out, why is Lord Shiva worshipping the Supreme Lord? Why is Lord Shiva worshipping the Supreme Lord? He doesn't require abhay as Indra does. He doesn't just do it as a duty, as Brahmaji has duty bound. Lord Shiva doesn't need any benedictions, neither he desire any. There is no more, like all of us have some motive in coming to Krishna consciousness, at least peace, good marks, good people, something. Lord Shiva doesn't need anything of that. There is no motive which we can, like here once I was discussing in our South Bombay Consciousness group, I took one exercise and asked them questions. Like you tell your own reasons why you took to Krishna consciousness first. Answer, or why we took to Krishna consciousness. Next, why, what inspired us to perform Krishna consciousness 5 years back from today? Just think, why we are performing, why we continued, and why we are doing Krishna consciousness today. And another question of similar type, like I put up a question, please write down, why we offer our Naivedya or food to Krishna. Many people wrote that to get free from sin, like the food when offered becomes sinless, or it is our duty, we eat, so it's our duty to, like God gives us, so we should give him back, or something like that. But this is all conceptions in the material world, up till Brahma Lok. On Lord Shiva's planet, there is none of this. Only one factor to worship Supreme Lord. It's only pure love. No, when I took that exercise of why we offer food to Krishna, many people wrote many things, many devotees, but no one wrote to feed Krishna. The most prime importance of offering food to Krishna is to feed him. Other times we think we offer because I have to eat. Generally, that is the most important. I will offer parathas to the Supreme Lord today because I have to make parathas or something like that. The main important consideration while offering food is that he should eat. But that is not possible just because we are on the material world. We are still engrossed by our own eating requirements. And we can't artificially say, no, I will cook only for Krishna's eating. But prapanchatita, where food, where hunger is not an issue. When somebody is out of this material world, hunger is not an issue. Neither is something fear or death. So Lord Shiva, Narad Muni points out, he is worshipping Krishna only cause, only motivation is pure love. There is no any other motivation. The Lord Shiva is worshipping Supreme Lord only because of pure love of Godhead. And the result of his worship is complete ecstasy. After Lord Shiva's worship is over, he is just chanting and chanting and chanting in Kirtan as a madman. Narad Muni says, who else will dance in Kirtan naked in front of his family and known people? Yeah, Lord Shiva is dancing, Parvati is there, Nandi is there, all his assistants are there, and he's only wearing ash as his clothes. He said, this is not attained. However advanced devotee we may be here, but we can't dance without clothes. But Lord Shiva is not behaving artificially. And neither people surrounding him are having any bad, they know it's like he's on such an exalted level. He's beyond any of these considerations. So he says, Lord Shiva, it's your glories. After your worship, the result is you are completely engrossed madly in chanting the holy names. Without any consideration, chanting, dancing, going on continuously. No stop. Non-stop. Kirtanya Sadahari. And motivation of that is also pure love, just to glorify the Supreme Lord. He doesn't get tired. There is no tiredness for Lord Shiva. So in this way, he glorifies Lord Shiva. And then Narad Muni, he says further. He says, Lord Shiva, you are such a great person. Is it not that many times the Supreme Lord, he worships you to get some benedictions from you? Many times the Supreme Lord worshipped. Supreme Lord has Sudarshan Chakra, Vishnu. When we are touring Himalayas, along I was there, Rohinipriya Prabhu and Rajgopal Prabhu. I don't know which place, but one, maybe Karna Prayag or Rudra Prayag somewhere. There was a temple where Lord Vishnu performed austerities and he received Sudarshan Chakra as a benediction from Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva gave Sudarshan Chakra to Vishnu. Also when Krishna wanted Samba as his son, before that he worshipped Lord Shiva. Many times Supreme Lord worships Lord Shiva. So Narad Muni says, hey, you are so great, Lord Shiva, that Supreme Lord worships you. Anyway, Lord Shiva feels ashamed. He said, don't speak about that. Don't speak. It's my greatest dishonor. He said, actually, you should understand. When a master worships a servant, it's actually not a worship. It's an insult. It's something like in modern day, if there's an owner of a shop or factory, and some person, employee, he's not behaving properly. He's remaining absent for many days or doing some misbehavior. So sometimes the master may say, I will say in Hindi or first and then English, Aiye, Maharaj ji, aiye, aap hi swami, aap hi idhar baithiye. So you understand, although the master is saying, you are the only great, you only sit on this my chair, actually it's a chastisement. Now similarly, Lord Shiva is saying, Lord Vishnu glorifies me, but actually, he's subtly chastising me. Like, you are only supreme, Lord, please give me benediction. So actually it's a chastisement. So there's a relation between the both devotees, but Lord Shiva is taking another view. But more than that, Narami says, once you prayed to Supreme Lord, Narami is telling Lord Shiva, what you prayed? That please make me bigger than you. Please make me higher than you. Lord Shiva prayed to the Supreme Lord. So here we are discussing this whole pastime to understand that the pastimes of Supreme Lord are unfathomable for us. So here Narayana is telling Lord Shiva, you don't remember? You once prayed to the Supreme Lord that please make me bigger, better than you. So technically no one can become better or bigger than or powerful than Supreme Lord. But Lord Shiva once prayed that way. In fact, when Lord Shiva heard that statement of Narayana, he says, please, this is the worst offense I have done. Please don't speak it. And it is mentioned in Padma Puran, some Uttarakhanda, Lord Shiva himself is telling, I written the verse, Alabdva chat mana pujam samyag aradhito hari maya tasmad api sheshthayam vanchata ahang kurta atmana. Lord Shiva is taking the opposite view. He is telling, when I did not get the desired worship for myself, Alabdva cha atmana pujam. Puja means worship. So Lord Shiva is telling, when I did not get the worship which I wanted, so Lord Shiva is showing himself low as an ahankari. He's saying, when I did not get the worship which I wanted, samyak aradhito hari, I worship Krishna properly. Why? Maya tasmadapi sheshthavyam. I want to become even sheshtha than Supreme Lord. Vanchata ahankruta atmanam. I desired ahankruta because of my ego, that I want to become better than Supreme Lord. But Narad Muni, he knows the heart of the Lord Shiva. He says, no, that is not true. What Lord Shiva is telling, that I worship to become better than the Supreme Lord out of ahankar and out of I did not get my puja, this is not true. He says, Supreme Lord is, see, all divine qualities come from Supreme Lord. So even humility, Supreme Lord, although he's supreme, by his own divine nature, he is also self-effacing. He doesn't want himself to be prominent. He doesn't want himself to be glorified. So Lord Shiva actually desired to become a devotee of Supreme Lord. But then Lord Shiva is also very great. And he knew that if I ask Supreme Lord that please make me your devotee, the Supreme Lord may not. He may just withhold himself. He'll say, okay, okay. But Lord Shiva's desire was to become devotee of Supreme Lord. But he played a trick of words. He says, oh my Lord, please make me bigger than you. In his heart, he wanted to become devotee. But he prayed, please make me bigger than you. Because he knew, no one in this world can become bigger than Supreme Lord. It's practically or theoretically impossible. Only one person can. Which Lord Krishna also states. He states, my devotees are better than me. So in that sense, Lord Shiva prayed that I want to become better than you because only devotees are better than you. And Narayana says, that was your heart. You pray to the Supreme Lord that please make me better than you because you thought that I cannot ask directly the Lord, please make me your devotee. So you ask, please make me better than you because only devotees can be better than the Supreme Lord. And Lord Shiva says, I heard once when Krishna was playing dice with Rukmini, dice are also devotees of Supreme. In spiritual world, everyone is conscious. Even the dice are devotees. So Krishna wanted dice to give the right results in favor of Krishna. So when playing dice, he declared, oh Rukmini, you know, my devotees are better than him. So he wanted to encourage the dice to play on Krishna's side. So Narad Muni had overheard that. So he said, in that way, the devotees are better than Krishna. So let me pray to become better than Krishna. We cannot imitate that, but Lord Shiva and not Narayana, Lord Shiva prayed that way. So here, actually these are the divine qualities, unfathomable pastimes between the Supreme Lord and His devotees. And at that time, Lord Vishnu gave benedictions to Shiva. Okay, you want to become better than me? Actually, only Lord Vishnu is qualified to give mukti, liberation. But he said, today onwards, Shiva and Parvati, you can also give liberation. Because you also become more powerful than me. So in this way, we see that unfathomable pastimes in the form of Matsya Avatar are taking place. In yesterday's verse, as I said, I will go back. I already went future 2-3 verses. They are the pastimes of Supreme Lord. In the yesterday's and day before yesterday's verse, Gaurhari Prabhu very nicely took. He spoke that just like the air is passing through different types of atmosphere, very beautiful verse. But the air is never affected by good or bad. In the sense, air may carry the bad odor or it may carry the good odor. But air itself is not affected. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, He sometimes takes birth as boar incarnation. As I said, He takes birth in all the 84 lakh species. Sometimes as fish, sometimes as some bird, everywhere. But still, He is not affected by the three modes of nature or the bodily effects of an animal in that species. He is not affected by, as a fish is in mode of ignorance or a boar. So the Supreme Lord is beyond all the physical appearances of the body which He takes. His position is always transcendental. And actually, I am about to end what I wanted to speak. I think I should end. One small point is there, which I should not make. But anyway, the verse before that, as I said last time, when I don't speak about the mother cows, people, they ask, they have to speak something. And some other verse before that quotes that, and I won't speak in detail, I only speak one sentence. I'll just drop a question for all of you, which you have to answer your own self. Here, the verse before that, just two verses before, the purpose of Supreme Lord's incarnation is mentioned. The one verse yesterday was mentioning how all incarnations of Supreme Lord are transcendental. And the verse before that, the purpose of Supreme Lord's incarnation is mentioned. And here Sukadeva Goswami is saying, O King, Maharaj Parikshit, for the sake of protecting cows, brahmanas, demigods, devotees, the Vedic literature, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the forms of incarnations. Prabhupada goes on to say ahead that how Krishna appeared and He played the, I'm just summarizing, played the like role of a cowherd boy, personally showed how we should give protection to cows. But then similarly He showed how we should protect the brahmanas by protecting Sudama. But then in the future, ahead, Srila Prabhupada, He goes ahead. And this point which I want to just put as a query to all of you. I will say two points here and I will read then what Prabhupada says. First point, wherever such sentences comes or verses comes in all the Vedic literatures, I purposefully observed from that point of view, all the Vedic literatures where important people's lists are given, important purposes why the Lord comes, or items or entities which should be protected, all these lists are mentioned, like same old women, brahmanas, cows. In 95, or I would say more than that, but at least 95% of the places, the cows are mentioned first, to be protected, to be respected, to be worshipped. And then brahmanas and old and children and women and devotees and everything, everyone else is also mentioned. So you should think, why 95% of places it is given such importance? Second point, which I wanted to make, yeah. In all the ashramas of spiritual ashramas, it may be tapasvis, it may be yogis, but they are on the spiritual path. It may be devotees, it may be Vasishtha Muni, Valmiki Muni, what you call it, Jamadangani Muni, any munis or rishis, spiritualist ashram. No ashram existed in the past on the earth. No place where a spiritual aim was aspired for existed in the past without the presence of holy cows? This is also a question we should think. Why it was like that? No ashram we see without cows being present over there. So what was the connection? And third sentence which Prabhupada says over here, without the protection of cows, Brahminical culture cannot be maintained. And without Brahminical culture, the aim of life cannot be fulfilled. I just end with these three sentences. I don't go into detail. Anyway, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any comments or questions, I thank all of you for giving a patient hearing. If anyone has any comments or questions, we can take for 5 minutes or we can end otherwise. I think we should end. Srila, okay, one question. Where some, Naji Prabhu, we can give first preference to Srila Naji Prabhu, and then one Prabhuji is over here. Only 2 questions we'll take.
Thank you very much for an excellent class. I appreciate. You mentioned about Yamraj Bhagavatam for billion
or four, something like that.
Verses or something like that. So, where is the Praman? This is the first time I've heard this. So.
It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the example is also given, analogy is given there in the purport, Prabhupada writes. That just like a cotton can be expanded and compressed. Like if you take a cotton of this size, you can just expand it even to make it this hall size, or you can just compress it to just maybe a small round like this. So this analogy is saying that Srimad Bhagavatam can be only Chatushloki Bhagavatam, 2.9.31, 32, 33, 34. It can be 18,000 verses, or it can be even 4 billion verses. I can give the reference. It's in the Bhagavatam purport only somewhere. But this analogy is given. Just like the cotton can be expanded and compressed. Similarly, Sri Krishna's pastimes are can be described in one sentence, one chapter, one canto, or much, much more than that. Similarly, they can be present for us in 4 verses, 18,000 verses, or if our capacity is there, it can be. It's in the purport somewhere. I can give the reference.
Thank you. Because Bhagavad Gita also it is mentioned like that.
Yeah.
That whole of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada
says, Chatur Shloki Gita is there.
Chatur Shloki Gita is there. Also, he says at the end that 18.66 is the sum and substance of the whole Bhagavad Gita.
Thank you. So, Prabhuji has one question. Okay, you can ask like that. So his question is, thank you, because the question has a very short answer, or very big answer, either way. So I will take the first preference. His question is, I was mentioning about Bhagavatam Rut, that Narad Muni went to Brahman, then King, then Indra, then Brahmaji and Lord Shiva. So his question is, what happened after that? Whether he went somewhere else or exactly? So that's around 25 lecture series which I am giving. So I don't want to give the whole 25 lecture series here of 1.5 hour each. So it's a whole narration. It's a book available in the stall or maybe somewhere you can. But Narad Muni visits many places and it's a big thing. It's around at least 25 hours discussion which we can't discuss over here in detail. But in short, okay, just for your information, from Shiva's place, Lord Shiva says, no, I am not the best devotee. He says, the devotees of Vaikuntha. Lord Shiva is just outside the material world, prapanchatitva. He has pure love, but he says, Vaikuntha devotees are much more better. Because they are personal, they even don't want mukti, which I have the power to give. So my power is useless. He says, I have the power to give mukti, but that's useless because the devotees of Vaikuntha don't even want that. So he says, they are much better. He gives many points for that. And then Parvati couldn't keep quiet. Because he says, my husband is only glorifying Vaikuntha Vasis and not mentioning the most important Mahalakshmi, who is my original form. So Parvati breaks in. Hey, stop. I will speak something. And he says, Mahalakshmi is the best. about all the residents of Vaikuntha. And then Lord Shiva, Narad Muni, he's a spaceman. So he starts looking up, I'll go there. So Lord Shiva says, please, my dear friend, come here. I will tell something very secret in your ears. You don't have to travel so far to go to Vaikuntha to observe the glories of devotees over there. And also the Supreme Lord is not in Vaikuntha because Krishna incarnation is happening on the earth right now. So Vaikuntha Lord Vishnu has joined him because Krishna has all the incarnations. And more than that, he doesn't want to tell that publicly to Narad Muni because if Parvati hears that he is avoiding or stopping, Lord Shiva is stopping Narad Muni from going to Vaikuntha and thus not meeting Mahalakshmi, whom I have just glorified, Parvati would become angry. So he said, I will tell you very secret in your ear. Don't go there. Prahlad Maharaj is he's a president of material world right now, but still he's a Vaikuntha Vasi because he's liberated. He's like practically a Vaikuntha person. So you go and meet him. He's very close by in the material world. So Narad Muni goes to Prahlad Maharaj and then he goes to meet Pandavas. And I mean, may not remember everything, but from Pandavas, I think he goes to Uddhav. There is nowhere in, okay, from Dwarka basically. He goes to Dwarka, meets all the Dwarka residents, Uddhav. From there, he doesn't go, but he meets Krishna personally because Krishna was there 5,000 years back. And then a big story to show that how the residents of Vraj, Vrindavan are the best devotees. Hare Krishna. I think I should end. Srila Prabhupada ki.